Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, for healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning, my beloved audience and newcomers. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. I got to go after it. I try to duck these things, but I can't duck this one. I can't duck this nonsense about the coronavirus. But let me begin by giving you the disclaimer. If anyone's died of it, this show is not intended to disrespect that tragic experience. And in that respect, we should take this very seriously. But we're not taking it seriously. You see, what we're doing is running around worrying, propped by the media and the imbeciles at the CDC, etc. We're not taking it seriously. We're running around in a state of panic. What I've heard this week, you wouldn't believe. Don't talk to Chinese people. I even heard someone say, make sure that Chinese girlfriend of yours stays away. Quote unquote. I won't give you the names. Then there's people that are angry about the stock market and how that's fluctuating due to the coronavirus. Then, of course, there's people that are on their way to Beijing this week, and they're calling me, and they're panic-stricken. There's somebody else on their way to Indonesia, and, of course, they're panic-stricken. This, that, and the other thing. The second half of the show, I'm going to do on the AIDS virus. Because I studied that. And in the aftermath of it, you can see what a tragedy it was. And at the same time, just like this, we never got the truth. So, let me give it to you straight on the coronavirus. The first thing you do is relax. There's number one. Here's number two. Right now, the statistics, which claim that it's 20 times more lethal than the flu. So, the coronavirus is from a family of viruses that isn't the same family as the flu virus. In fact, we're pretty sure this thing derives itself from bats. You know, like Batman, bats. We were doing something with bats. No, we weren't. It can originate and then mutate. And so we've traced it to bats. Okay, great. So it started with bats. It ended up in the Corona family. By the way, I was born in Corona. Corona, Queens. You New Yorkers should chuckle, right? Remember? Good old Corona next to Flushing. Nasty little neighborhood, but good people. The coronavirus from a family of bats. If you study the statistics, yes, right now it looks like it's about 20 times more lethal. It's got the probability 20-fold of killing you. So what's the stat? It's 0.1% die from the flu, and this is about 2%. But that's the statistics they're compiling now. Now, what do the present statistics? And I'm just going to go with China, because other than the fact that it's coming to the United States, we'd have no concern here right now in the United States, save the tragedies that have occurred, however minimal. And when compared to the tragedy of car accidents, cancer, heart disease, I don't know why that's not taking the headlines. But I'm not going to go there. I'm simply going to say right now in the United States, it's nil. But we don't know. But what we do know is it's starting to taper off in China. So we're starting to get the statistics now from China. And the statistic we don't have, and here's why you listen to my show. The statistic that we don't have, you epidemiologists and virologists and statisticians, please use your noggin here. This is the type of respiratory, this is the type a flu, so to speak, that has a lot of people that get it and never know they got it, or get it and just shake it off in a day or two. Those people never get reported. Those people don't go into the statistics. Because why would they? If you're a working Chinese guy doing your 90-hour week, thanks to Mao, not making enough bread, and you're struggling, and you have a sniffle or two or a cough and it lasts 2 days, why would you report it? So you can go get quarantined with the rest of the family? No, you wouldn't. You're going to keep your mouth shut and don't think that's not what they're doing. Oh, hi, I'm working on the factory line, making no money in the first place. And what I'm going to do is go wave my hand and run on in and say, you know, quarantine me so I can lose whatever or maybe be executed. Who knows what China's up to? And I'll tell you something. You know what's going to go into that statistic? All those Chinese way up in the north. Check the map. I mean, north of North Korea. I wonder how many of those. You don't know what it's like there. I do. I listen to people that travel. They run through my gates all the time. You can't even see across the street. Anyone been to China, mainland? The pollution is horrid. And of course, mind you, those of you who have been to these lovely places in China where the pollution is so gross, you cannot see across the street. Don't ever complain about downtown LA on a hot summer day. Until you've been to parts of China on a hot summer day. And the industrial sections, where you've got half a billion people in a space no bigger than Kansas? Are you kidding me? The cities there are 40, 50 million. I'm talking north of North Korea. Think about it. There's South Korea, where it's freezing. There's North Korea, where it's like Antarctica. And then there's north of North Korea, which might as well be Mars on a cold day. That's how bad it is up there. And that's where China stuffs massive percentages of its population with people who are grossly ill. The disease rates are unbelievable. That's the hood. Cities there are 20, 30, 40, 50 million, and they're all connected with each other. So it's really one massive 500 million, three quarter of a billion population. It is so overcrowded. How do I know this? 6 years ago, a missionary, a Christian missionary, came to my office. And I can't tell you more about him because he was undercover. As we Christians know, the Christian movement in mainland China is huge. It is the largest spreading religion. So this Christian missionary comes to my office and he asks me to help a number of people he's smuggling out who are very, very, very sick. Boy, did I go to town with that guy. I mean, I learned as much as I could learn. You can't pay for information like that. You can't get that off internet. You can't read books on that. The only way you get it is person to person, firsthand, and then you verify what you're getting is the truth. And if you have any sense of the truth, you'll know what I know. When you hear about something spreading in China, you are talking about a filthy, stinking cesspool. Would you please keep that in mind? Now, if it's so far, according to the stats in China, 20 times more lethal than the flu, which so far statistically it is, what you have to consider is all the people who are not being reported. Now, we know this. We know this from SARS, and we know this from MERS, and we know this from all the other ones. We know the way the statistical flow goes. The only where place 20 times more lethal is going to go, assuming, God forbid, no mutation like the Spanish flu of 1914. But assuming there's no mutation at this point, that statistic, 20 times more lethal than the regular flu, is only going one place. Down. Why? Because eventually what they do is they take all these people, whether they had the flu or not, whether they had the symptom or not, whether they were quarantined or not, whether they told their boss or not. Of course, if you croak, you don't have to tell your boss because you're dead. That's why those people are in the statistic. Think about it. Do a little math, a little common sense, and you'll figure out what's going on. So it's really, if you're so sick, if you are so unbelievably sick that you're in ER, you're a statistic. And in China, you bet they're counting, right? They're not telling us anything, but they're counting for them. So if you're sick and you're in ER, you're a statistic. If you're dead, you're a statistic. But how do we know how many people got it in China right now and just shook it off in a day? Anyone want to bet me? Not too many people at the Shaolin monasteries, the Kung Fu masters. Anybody want to bet me those guys don't know this virus from anything? They're not getting it. How many people, and this is the point, have gotten it in China that didn't report it, that aren't going to be reported? Because, and here's the inside thing, this type of flu hits a lot of people, and a lot of people don't get a reaction. Let me compare this so you get this point, because this really is the crux of it. And I want you to get this because I know you don't have it yet. I know it. I don't think I explained it well enough. Hepatitis. Hepatitis A. That's the hepatitis where you turn yellow and white and your feces is white and yellow and you feel like you're dying and it lasts about 6 to 12 weeks. It's self-limiting and then it's gone. Hep A. Hepatitis A. You ate bad shellfish. Relative to the coronavirus 2019, relative to that, Hep A does not have a larger class of people that get exposed to it but don't show symptomology. They still do. You can be a carrier and not have a symptom. But hepatitis A, relative to the coronavirus, has a relatively small population. It's the nature of the virus. If you get it, you got it, and you're going to get something nasty. But you see, inside track. This is what and why you listen to this show. When you study this virus, even this family of viruses, but more when you study this virus, it has, in contrast to even the other coronaviruses, a larger percentage of people who are going to get it and never know it. Now, how do you find those people? They're not coming into ER or telling their boss. The only way you can determine this is in a year from now, 1 year, 6 months. Honestly, I'll give it 6 months tops. No one's going to hear of anything. And the media and the pharmaceutical industry will be on to their next stupid game. But I'll guarantee you, over the next year, what's going to happen, and this you got to understand the machine now, the way it works, is they're going to do serology tests. They're going to test all these people in populations for antibodies that were produced because these people were exposed. Now, these people that were exposed, lots of them don't know they were exposed because they were asymptomatic or their symptoms were so mild it wasn't reported. And you know what you're going to find? All of a sudden, when we look at the total number of people that were exposed to the number of people who died, that 20 times is going to go way down. Any bets? Would you please remember this day? So you can say in a year, yes, Medici, you were correct. How do I know? Because I know, because you study these things. And because it works this way with these things. Now that's huge for you to understand. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. I'm all hyped up about the coronavirus. I can't shut my mouth any longer. You have to use your head. You have to understand science. You have to know the way the political, medical, pharmaceutical game is played to understand how you're being ripped off. And then, after you do that, then you can determine just what the threat is. You see? Now, if you're 2 years old mentally, you don't even want to have this discussion. All you know is coronavirus, bad. Cry, run, hide under a rock, and act like a two-year-old. But if you really want to analyze it and go into it and get reality and not live in Fantasyville, then you have power. This is a show to make you powerful. In knowledge, there is power, right? Now, let's get to the other one. Of the people in China who did die, what do you think very large percentages were? Olympic athletes? Kung Fu masters? The rich and affluent? No. It was elderly, which is not to write this off. Don't anybody get me wrong here. But you have to be severely immunocompromised. And of course, I don't want to just say the elderly, because you know who the dead ringer is in China? Diabetics. Oh, not me. I don't have diabetes. Kaiser told me I'm fine. You see, then you haven't been listening to my show. You are diabetic. What you're doing is running around with your blood sugar in dangerous places, and therefore with your insulin. I'm talking to us now, us Americans, definitely the rice eaters of China. You're running around with your blood sugar too high, too often, and you're spiking your insulin. You know what that does to the immune system? It paralyzes it. It paralyzes it. High blood sugar and high insulin paralyze the immune system. Google it up yourself. Go to the great think tank of modern man, Google, controlled by the devil. Only there to give you what they want you to think. But do it anyway. Go to Google. Even Google inadvertently will tell you that if your insulin runs high and your blood sugar runs high, your immune system doesn't work. Now go Google up the coronavirus 19. Go to China. Go to the number of deaths. I think it's like 4,000 or 5,000, something like this. Go to the number of deaths. And then keep reading and find out that the vast majority of people have cardiac complications, have respiratory disease in the first place, or on top of that, are diabetic. Go ahead. Go ahead and then blog my show. Hit my show with a comment and say thank you. Now I don't have to run around. Do you know how many people have asked me about this stupid virus in the last week? I mean, it's ridiculous, man. I would think affluent Americans are smarter than this. I just don't get it, man. I really do not get it. We are a bunch of media-controlled imbeciles. Yes, I'm going to tell you on air, I don't care. Imbeciles. This is ridiculous. You can't do the math on this and figure out the game? Wait, the second half of the show. I'm going to get to the AIDS virus. Can ever any of you remember that when AIDS hit Time magazine years ago in the early 80s, within 2 years, we were supposed to have it spread through America like it did in the AIDS belt in Africa? It never did. Gee, I wonder why. All right, all right. Don't want to blow too many people up. So, of the people in China that are dead from this virus, the high percentages were diabetics. Its relevance to you is you're diabetic. Yeah, you are. But they didn't tell you at Kaiser. You know why? Because their standards to measure what they call diabetic are way, way too high. In other words, sometimes they leak it out to you. You're pre-diabetic. See, when they give you the fasting blood glucose test, you've already had 6 to 8 hours of in bed, then 2 to 3 hours fasting. What happens when you're in bed, not eating? What happens when you get up in the morning and you're fasting? What do you think happens? Your blood sugar drops. But you can spend then the other 16 hours of your waking day stuffing your face with bagels and living like a full-fledged diabetic. But if you're reasonably strong and up to 60 or 70, you will be reasonably strong. You'll go to bed and you'll sleep and your blood sugar will drop. But who cares, because you're asleep. Then you'll get up in the morning and you got enough glycogen left in the liver to sustain you. And what happens? Your blood sugar just keeps dropping. And by the time you get your blood sugar measured by Kaiser, that only wants to spend what it costs to measure the sugar in the blood. They're not even going to go for glycated hemoglobin unless you ask them. Corporation, keep the profits high and keep the outlay low. That's why Kaiser never gives you those important tests you want, like oxidized LDL or like a lens replacement in a cataract surgery that allows just that small spectrum of blue light in to keep your pineal active so you don't turn into a vegetable after your cataract surgery. Would you like me to go on another 6 hours straight? So what are we left with then? We're left with fasting blood sugar, which a ton of people are going to be able to regulate down under 100 the way I described. So when you talk about the threat, your risk, why you're concerned, you ought to be asking yourself whether or not you can really regulate your blood sugar. Because that's how you protect yourself. You keep your blood sugar low, because that hypertrophies, that is like manna from heaven to the macrophages. Actually, macrophages are not actually your friend with this virus. It's interesting. The virus hijacks the macrophage and uses the macrophage to disseminate. But your dendritic cells, all your immune system, so I won't get too technical, all your immune system needs one, low blood sugar, regular blood sugar. You got to live with it under 100. Write that down and take it to the bank. Number two, sleep. Number three, adequate vitamin D levels. No, not 30. More like 60. How's that? Why do I say 60 since Cannell and everybody else have this ensuing debate? I'll tell you. It's real simple. You just have to use your noggin. If we go into the jungles, if we go out into the country with people who don't know squat about any of this nonsense with vitamin D, we find that the body, the human body, will self-limit the amount of vitamin D circulating at about 60 nanograms. 60 is a good bet, not 90, definitely not 30. And while we're on the subject, most of us, because we're cave dwellers and suck up radiation from computer fumes all day, if not car fumes, are down there at about 20. Why isn't that headlining all these articles? Why isn't regulation of blood sugar the correct way? Why doesn't the entire industry of medicine start prompting Kaiser and these cheap, useless HMO PPO programs you're in to make mandatory glycated hemoglobin? Why? 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 The reason is money. And you get gypped. You get ripped off. You get left susceptible. You never learn how to really help yourself. But no, I got to listen to people talk about Chinese people and how we shouldn't hang out with them in America, especially if they have an accent. That's our mentality. That's our level of intelligence. So who do we look to? We look to the CDC and we look to the AMA. We look to the media to tell us the truth. And what do we get? More stupidity. I have a right to act like this. This is dumb. Do not worry about the coronavirus. Worry about the fact that over 10 years from the CDC, one out of two people will get cancer. Worry about that. Worry about heart disease. Worry about autoimmune disease. Worry about the effect of radiation on the neurodegenerative categories. Worry about that. Read headlines on that. Write to your politicians about that. Call up Time Magazine and say, I'm going to burn your paper. The next time you put on the headline something stupid about a coronavirus, when in fact I don't hear enough good stuff about how to really protect yourself against cancer or how to really pump up the immune system. Do that. Be a smart American. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. I have two spaces left for my seminar next Sunday, 11 to 6 on exercise, the truth about exercise, what you can really do, all the nuances, all the fine detail, all the best there is to give to you. Be wise. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Have a great week.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.
Okay, part two. Listen, part one today, what you pay for, tongue in cheek, of course, but what you pay for is to understand this. So let me reiterate it in case you missed it. This virus has a larger birth, a larger percentage of people characteristic to the virus, a larger percentage of people who get it, a larger percentage of people who don't know they got it, because they're either completely asymptomatic or the symptoms are so mild they couldn't care less. That's a trait of this virus, and that trait, of course, is not being included. No one's pointing to that, because like we saw with these other ones, SARS and MERS, is that in hindsight, after the serology tests are done, meaning they assay the antibodies of just random populations, they start to see how many more people didn't die of it that just didn't get reported. Now, in ratio to that, in contrast to that, if you die of this thing, do you think you're going to go unreported? Right? Of course not. If you croak in your home, with your family, at work, you're absent from work, whatever it is, that gets reported. If you go to ER, that gets reported. I mean, this is so easy to figure out if you just think about it. So that statistic that it's 20 times more lethal than the flu, you will see that number drop. Probably in the end, it'll be 4 to 5 times more lethal than what we call the yearly flu. This is so far away from dangerous against the fact now that then if you look at the number of people who do die of it, who are in danger of it, they're all seriously ill. They got bad heart, they got bad diabetes or diabetes, and they've also got respiratory illness. And in China, if you got respiratory illness, you're in deep doo-doo. China is a cesspool. Which doesn't mean that it doesn't have parts of it that are pristine, because it does. You know, Mao always had his hideaways. And all these cats like this always save the cream for themselves. Doesn't matter. American, Russian, Chinese, African. If you're on the top, doesn't matter what religion, race, creed, political ideology, you're always living like the big pig. And all the dummies on the bottom, the peasants, they're the ones that suffer. Doesn't matter. America, China, Africa, Asia. People are people, and they're good and they're bad. And you got good with all race, colors, and creeds, and bad with all race, colors, and creeds. And I pray for a better day when we could just draw the lines like that. Not against race, color, and creed, but against what we all know in the end is the only line you should draw. Are you a good human being or an asshole? You see? But I don't know. Maybe we'll all burn ourselves to smithereens before we get to that evolution. Personally, I don't care. I know where I'm at. I know who my people are. And I just proceed as such and stay out of my way. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. You probably know that since you're on the website. Hope you liked the first half. Here's the second half, and then I think I'm going to talk about immunity. I'm not going to put pictures up today because I don't think it's worth it. I mean, I could, but I want to get you the points, and even another 30 minutes, I can only do bullet points on this topic. It's so huge. But I'm going to tell you my first experience, and I've always wanted to tell this story because I really did my homework on this. Back in 82, when the world was first finding out about AIDS, I was early 20s. I, as fate would have it, was in a very interesting situation back then. I was tending bar, because that's what I did. You know, the restaurant scene. On my worst days, I wish I had stayed in it. But back then, I was working in restaurants. And I was tending bar, and the bar they hired me in, and I needed a job, was owned by these gay guys. It's not an uncommon thing. But these gay guys hired me, who was quite straight, as they saw it, because they were trying to turn the bar, which was a gay bar, into a straight bar. Because they lost their shirts when they bought it and tried to make it gay. So they did. They bought it, they tried to make it a gay bar. They were losing their shirts. One of the owners was a high school principal. He was gay. Put a lot of money into it and lost. And he was so scared that he was losing every dime he had in this gay enterprise, gay bar. And when he realized that that wasn't going to work, he said, you know what? We should make it a straight bar now because it's going to fail as a gay bar and I'm going to be even more broke. That's when they hired me. I was good to hire for that. But then what happened is he decided to keep it as a gay bar. And this is typical when people are losing their shirts in a business ordeal. They get all frantic and change their minds all the time. At any rate, I needed a job. So I stuck around for a while. And I'm working back in 82 in this gay bar, straight bar, then back to gay bar. So everybody's coming in that was coming in, and of course not enough people were coming in, but there was a mix, there was a diversity. So every now and then at the bar would be somebody that didn't look good, like you knew something was wrong. But you didn't think cancer, and even me at 20, 21, I'd already been through a lot of science in college, and it just didn't add up. So I'd say to the other guys in the bar who were working there, who were usually gay, what's going on with that guy? He looks really sick. And they'd say, like in this whispered, covert voice, like it was a big secret, that guy has AIDS. He has AIDS. Now, I'd been to school. I'd studied a little bit about disease. I'd studied a lot of chemistry. And I was like, what the heck is AIDS? This is before it really blew. This is before it went all over the papers. So this had to be like 81, 82. It didn't really go boom until like 84. But in 82, that's the way it was. It was just starting to circulate. So people talked low. And the gay community, of course, talked low because it was very tragic for them. So that's how I got exposed to it. And I was like, wow. I started reading. Now, I was working down. I was on East 30th and like 2nd Avenue. But the best place to go in Manhattan back then, especially, was the Village. East Village, West Village, Central Village. I mean, pure Little Italy, Chinatown. I mean, just great stuff. Ah, do I miss that environment, you know? At any rate, I'm all over the Village, and you got the local newspapers, and you start reading. Now, I was on this. I was like, man, this is serious. I'm going to read about this. I'm going to see how this progresses. And I did. And man, did I learn. What did I learn? Let me tell you the story. Originally, AIDS, as it hit the world. Remember, who was president? President was Ronald Reagan. And Reagan and the administration, Caspar Weinberger, Spiro Agnew, his vice president, they didn't really care too much about the gay community, right? Reagan was a right-wing guy, extremely right, even though he had been a Democrat. But he had all his support from factions that really weren't going to be throwing money at liberal causes. And at that time, gay rights and everything that went with it, well, that was a liberal thing. It wasn't like it is today. Reagan and the administration were not interested in AIDS. It's a gay disease and blah, blah. However wrong that was, he wasn't interested in that. Well, what happened is something very interesting. The medical community was interested in AIDS. Now, I will tell you something about the medical community. And later I'm going to tell you something about a guy named William Hazeltine from Harvard, professor of biology. I'm going to call him a lowlife. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you something about the medical community. And I just don't mean medical doctors. I mean the industry of medicine. I also mean the industry of science. I'm going to tell you something about guys that have PhDs. They, if you pay them, will do research to make it clear to you that the sky is pink. If you pay them, they will tell you anything. If you pay them, they will smudge the design of their experiment to make the unworldly, uneducated think that the sky is purple, pink, and yellow, and not blue. They will say anything. Because your average PhD, even if it's a Harvard professor, doesn't make any money. The guy that watches my car, he washes my car. He doesn't, his team does. When I knew him 10 years ago, he had one area where he washed all the cars himself. Now he has five. In 8 years, he's expanded five times. He doesn't speak a word of English. That's America. It's a beautiful thing. And I don't think this guy is all legal. But that's not the point. The point is he's a hard-working young man that's doing very well for himself. That I can tell you. Now, what about that biology professor? That guy with the PhD? I promise you, on his best day, he's making less money than the guy that washes my car. I promise you. That ain't good. It's a terrible thing. It's why America, relative to India and China and Taiwan and blah, 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 really doesn't put out a bunch of scientists. What kid wants to go to school, go to grad school, suffer, and make no money? A waiter at the Four Seasons will bury, economically speaking, what a professor at UCLA makes in a year. It's the way it goes, my friends. And all you teachers out there know this is true. When you look at your gross salary, you take the taxes out, you look at what you're left with, you're working for $200-$300 a day if you're lucky. Times five times a week. How far does that go if you have a couple of kids? Why do I tell you this? I tell you this because what it means is, when you have stuff like the coronavirus to understand or the AIDS virus to understand, the medical community is so hard up for money. They've suffered so long and so much and so far that you're not going to get the truth for them. They are looking to make money. And if they can stretch the truth, if they can omit what's important, if they can slant it in a way that creates a crisis out of something, they're going to do it. And it'll be at the expense of what you should be told. And if what you should be told has solutions that don't make the machine money, those guys that purport those solutions, that want to send those solutions to the public, those guys will be silenced by their own board members. Do you get that? Are we done with this illusion about science? It is a corrupt arena. It doesn't work that way. Or we wouldn't have such a sick nation because good people would be told the truth. Now, I laid my case down on coronavirus, and I'll put my reputation on it. Watch. Over 3 to 4 months, you're not going to hear jack shit about the coronavirus anywhere. It's going to be all done, and it's just going to go down as a slightly more alarming, and I say slightly more alarming version of any flu, which any immunocompromised person should be concerned about at any time for the last 200 million years. Done. That's it. So what's all this horse shit all over the world today about this new endemic, pandemic, epidemic issue called the coronavirus 19? You see? But I don't want to talk about that anymore. I'll tack on some stuff about the immune system. I want you to see. And remember, you're old enough to remember AIDS, HIV. All right, so you're starting to see this. You know, you live in Hollywood. You live wherever you live. There's always, back then and today, there's always, you know, your neighbor's gay. All of a sudden, we start. And I was living later on from New York. Then later, I was living in L.A., Hollywood, West Hollywood. And all of a sudden, we start realizing something's going on, man. This ain't good. That's when the medical machine got a hold of this. And what they did, to me, is criminal. And for the reasons I just explained. So let me tell you how it went. There was a lowlife. His name is William Hazeltine. Today he's worth $500 million. Dr. William Hazeltine. H-A-S as in stupid. Maybe not so stupid. H-A-S-E-L-T-I-N-E. Dr. William Hazeltine. He was a biologist at Harvard. And what this slime bag did is he went to Germany. He went to Germany. And what he did in Germany is go to the venereal disease clinics, the sex clinics, the places where soldiers, GIs, American GIs who were stationed in Germany, Munich. This first hit the New York Post through API or UPI. I remember the day I read it. I saved the article for 25 years, and then about 5-6 years ago, I lost it. I'm still looking for it, and I'm trying to get the New York Post to send me the archives, but, you know, this is 82, 92, 2002, 2012, it's almost 40 years ago. But I got to get this article again. It was this little blurb that Dr. William Hazeltine in Munich, Germany, has been testing GIs, soldiers, and they're testing positive for HIV. Now, we had already decided that HIV caused AIDS, something that would be later disputed, but it was already out, HIV caused AIDS. It meant if you tested positive for HIV, you were going to get AIDS, and then on the cover of the different magazines were people in the last day of their life from AIDS, and everyone was flipped. You remember? Those of you too young to remember, respect history, my friend, because you're going to get blindsided by it if you don't. So this is all going down, and I'm in my very early 20s watching this, reading. It was fascinating. Because Hazeltine said that when he inquired, asked those GIs, those soldiers, where they could have contacted, who they were making sexual contact with, all of them said, hookers. African hookers coming up from Africa trying to earn a living in Munich, Germany by doing business with American soldiers. That's what Hazeltine claims he was told by these GIs. And no doubt that's the truth. That's what he was told. He was told when he was testing all these guys at the VD clinics, he was told, hey, Dr. Hazeltine from Harvard here in Munich, I got this HIV because I had sex with a prostitute, and that prostitute was up from Africa, as a whole bunch were, trying to make a living, and yada yada. So what did Hazeltine do, the schmuck? He's either very stupid, which he's not, or he's a schmo. He released a blurb to the press agencies that said, Dr. William Hazeltine, I don't know, epidemiologist, Harvard, something like this, is in Munich, Germany, confirming that our soldiers, our boys, are now testing HIV positive. And of course, what did that mean? That they were coming home to impregnate and get ill and transfer all this AIDS stuff to the farmlands of Kansas, to the wheat fields of Minnesota. That finally, we'd gotten to the point where we confirmed that heterosexual soldiers doing business with hookers coming up from the AIDS belt of Africa are testing positive and on their way back to New York on furlough, back to America on furlough, to spread and transmit AIDS. And that's when it all started. I saw it. Simultaneously to this. Now check this out. This was amazing. I mean, this was going down, my friends. Simultaneous to this is Rock Hudson. You know, The Rock. Who nobody knew was gay. He gets it. Now, everybody on the inside knew he was gay. And I don't think Reagan cared. I don't know. But somebody named Elizabeth Taylor cared. And Elizabeth Taylor was one of the reasons Ronald Reagan was governor of California. She put a lot of people behind Ronnie. And Elizabeth Taylor, who was close with Rock Hudson, understandably grief-stricken because of what he got, went to Reagan and said, you owe, my friend. Now, this is President Reagan. Said, you owe, my friend. You get Congress to start appropriating money to what was formerly a gay disease that Reagan, the Republican administration, didn't care about, which would be characteristic, especially back in the early 80s. So Reagan, of course, plays ball and gets Congress to appropriate $220 million. That's it. Of course, this is 82, so maybe that's like a billion. I don't know. Gets Reagan to appropriate, to use his influence in Congress, to appropriate $220 million for AIDS research. This is corollary to Hazeltine coming back. Now, I'm going to get back to Hazeltine. What was, and who was Hazeltine speaking to? Was Hazeltine speaking to heterosexual straight GIs? No, he was talking to gay men. But back in the day, if you admitted you were gay and you were in the armed forces, you were court-martialed. You were thrown out of the armed services. Hazeltine knew that. Hazeltine knew they were gay. But what did Hazeltine do? Hazeltine lied. He played dumb. Because he didn't lie. Because they lied to him. He just extended the lie, knowing it was a lie. But he's kind of off the hook, isn't he? The consequence of this was very bad. But we'll get to that later. As the story goes, Hazeltine, knowing that they're lying, overlooks the lie, sends this blurb back. Rock Hudson gets sick. And all of a sudden, we have an argument now. And the argument is, this is not a gay disease. And the message is, hey, up till now, this is the gay disease. But you know what? This can happen to your daughters. Your sweet little innocent farm girl daughters. Because these heroes, these American soldiers are coming back. This is not a gay disease. That, of course, was what people were being told when, what were we looking at? Rock Hudson and gay soldiers. And that's where it started. Now, I'm in the village at the time reading the local magazines. Back then, I don't know if it's still around, there was the Greenwich Village Native. The Native was a local Greenwich Village gay magazine. And you had medical doctors who were gay. Epidemiologists, virologists who were gay. They were openly gay. Saying, I can't believe how they are destroying our understanding of HIV. They're objecting to Hazeltine. They're so committed to medicine, knowing that only the truth can help anybody, that they're arguing this point that it's going to spread through heterosexual contact. They're arguing this. They're arguing that it's not going to spread to the farm girls of Kansas. That it has special ways of transmission. And if we don't get this straight, we're never going to help anybody. Where are these guys writing? In some conservative newspaper out in Yorba Linda? No. This is in the Native. I remember it. Because the dispute back then was, is this a gay disease? Is this simply for gays, gay men? AIDS, in the AIDS belt of Africa, too. People got it from blood transfusion. And for some reason that we didn't understand, Haitians. Little limericks were made about this. Haitians, Zuzas. I mean, it was the word back then. It was, look, this isn't going to spread. This is for Haitians, gays, blood transfusions, and people who are of African. In Africa, there's a section that was called the AIDS Belt. And equal numbers of people got it, meaning the same percentage. It was all heterosexual transmission in the AIDS belt. And because of that, when we looked at America, guys like Hazeltine and everybody else that was on the money wagon was predicting that it would spread in America based on these findings like it did in the AIDS belt in Africa. That was the mindset. And yet, if you looked at the statistics every week in the CDC or in, and where I looked was the Native. It was the gay magazine. It was the place I truly expected. I truly expected that that magazine would be political. Because the gays were petrified. And they wanted all the money to go into research. And the best way to do it would be to argue through statistics that it wasn't just a gay disease, that everyone was going to get it, like in Africa. I thought that's what the gay magazines of Greenwich Village were going to do, and yet they had more integrity than that. And I did it. I did it for 3 years. Every week I'd read the statistics. It was fascinating. When HIV was claimed to cause AIDS, and we started measuring who was getting AIDS, it was gay men, people that got it from blood transfusions, people who were shooting intravenously, Haitians. The Hades thing is still interesting. And of course, it was raging in the AIDS belt in Africa. But when you looked at heterosexual males, heterosexual females, gay women, those statistics remained stable from beginning to present day, meaning it never went up. Meaning, despite the claim by Hazeltine, by Matilda Krim, not so much Matilda Krim, but Hazeltine, Gallo, the Frenchman Montaigne, all these cats that were in on the money wagon and making millions for themselves and investing in stock options, meaning they all play the market on the inside track ahead of the public, and that way they get super rich off investments in the same drugs that their research is touting people to use. That's how the game is played. They're getting filthy, dirty rich, telling everyone this is going to spread to the heterosexual community. You better find funding. You better fill my pockets. You better find funding for drugs because your beautiful little Girl Scout daughter is going to be dead of AIDS, just like the gays. It never happened. It never happened. And if you read the statistics every single week like I did, you threw your flag down, man. You threw your flag down. Because it didn't happen, and it didn't happen. By and large, it remained in those groups. And of course, as of 15, 20 years ago, I mean, this is 40 years now, 40 years since AIDS and HIV. After 10 years, nobody heard anything about it. It wasn't making headlines because it wasn't killing anybody other than those groups. And that, of course, don't get me wrong, is its own tragedy, no doubt. But the machine was lying. The machine was lying. Now, I got more for you. Look it up yourself. Reinventing the AIDS virus. Read it. Get the book. Reinventing the AIDS virus. By Michael Duesberg. D as in doctor, U-E-S-B-E-R-G. Michael Duesberg. Out of Berkeley. Forward by Kerry Mulis. Nobel laureate. God bless him. He just passed away. Get that book, Reinventing the AIDS Virus, Michael Duesberg, forward by Kerry Mulis. Michael Duesberg, at the time, 80s, 1980s, was the premier retrovirologist. RNA viruses, meaning strands of not RNA, of DNA, but RNA. Which means they have uracil in their transcript. That would infect another cell, take over their RNA, and blah, blah, blah. He claimed HIV didn't cause AIDS. It's the name of the book. And Kerry Mulis read and heard Duesberg's commentary. Mulis already had his Nobel Prize. He was already famous. He had connections. He was respected. And he was brilliant. And he got hooked into Duesberg's research and said, you know what? This thing about HIV causes AIDS, this doesn't add up, man. Where was the original publication that proved HIV caused AIDS? So Mulis, Nobel laureate, uses all his connections and ultimately finds out at the top, Montaigne and Gallo, he can't find the publication. Mulis realizes that HIV causes AIDS is a crock of shit. A crock of shit. Is right in there with Duesberg. By now, Duesberg, for making his claim, has been stripped. Stripped. Of all his research money. He's done. His career is over. You see? Because it took more than HIV to cause AIDS. And all of this was funded on HIV caused AIDS. And if HIV caused AIDS, and you tested positive and you were straight heterosexual, certainly it would spread in America like it did in Africa. There's Hazeltine's lie. Everyone's lying. Gallo's lying. Montaigne's lying. Hazeltine's lying. And everyone's rich. Hazeltine's worth $500 million. I guarantee you, in 1982, William Hazeltine was not worth $500 million. And who gets screwed? You do. I do. We do. And then, of course, the money machine gets behind the drugs. As Mulis will mention in the foreword, read it, get the book. Why anyone would give anybody AZT was beyond him. Much better you do nothing, take no drug. And I don't even want to get into the sequel to that because it's even more disgusting. So what do you think I feel when I hear people talk about the coronavirus? And it's like I said in part one. It's just a game. Just a game. And as far as the stock markets are concerned, yeah, stocks are shaky. This is just an opportunity for people that play the market intelligently and know the inside track to get richer. That's all it is. It's all it is. Give you an example. Give you an example of how this works. I'm going to really do it to you today. I give you an example of how this works. Let's say travel and everything about travel to China through some company, some big travel agency company, is doing real well because everyone's going to China. And you have stock invested in that company, which is traded publicly. It's a travel agency. It's just a hypothetical example, but you'll see how this is played. When the market fluctuates over, well, you can't go to China because you're going to get the coronavirus. And that company's stock goes down. The dummies that don't know how to play the stock market sell. And who buys? People with a lot of capital. They look for moments like this, right? Buy in bear markets. When things are bad, that's when you buy because you get cheap. So now you bought the 10,000 shares at a fraction of what they would have cost before the coronavirus became news. And you hang on to it. You know why? Because it's going to go back up. Because within 6 months to a year, everyone's going to realize it was a scam. There is no threat. At the same time, you take the other piece of your capital, and for as long as the coronavirus is a scare, say you invest your money in the company that makes those filters, those masks that you wear on your face, those white things that are useless anyway. But more people are going to buy them now, right? And on that basis, you invest in those companies. And what do you think is going to happen if you buy just before it hits the press? You're going to buy relatively cheap, and stock in those companies is going to go way up because everybody's buying those things. So you do two things with your money if you have inside knowledge of how it's going to spin. You take a percentage of your money and you buy into at a fraction of the cost the travel agency, and you take a percentage of your money and you buy before the stock prices go way up the filter. Yeah. You don't think it works that way, huh? If you don't think it works that way, I have a bridge for you. It's called the Brooklyn Bridge. I'll give it to you for $500,000, and I'll give you a receipt, and you can stand there tomorrow morning, and while traffic goes by you and probably kills you anyway, you can claim that you own the Brooklyn Bridge. I have a bridge for you. If you don't believe what I just said. It's all a game. And you got to use your head. And you got to support people, and I'm one of them, who gives you the straight stuff. Your choice. It's what I do with my money. I look for people in the know, not the bozos. Follow the money trail, Stalin used to say. All right, I'm not going to get into what to do for your immune system because you already know, and if you don't, it's been an hour. I hope you found this interesting. It fascinates me. There it is, the coronavirus. Start shaking in your boots. God bless you, and I will see you next week. Keep in mind, I have 2 spots open. Maybe I already filled my last 2. I don't know. But next Sunday, I'm going to do it on exercise. If you're smart, you'll take advantage if we have room. I can only take like 27 people tops. All right. God bless you. I'll see you next week.